Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
This knowing God's heart. I know that's a cry of my heart at the moment, is to know his heart, to know God. And I say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, not just about you. I want to know you. And it was only while I was preparing to come here today that I realized that what I was really crying out for was to know my Father, to know him as Father. You know, it's so easy. It's a lot easier, it seems to be anyway, to relate to Jesus and even the Holy Spirit as well. But when we get to Father, it seems to get a little bit more, we've got a lot of baggage, seem to have. And, you know, we've been hearing about the names of God over the last few weeks. Yahweh. And when I walk my dog, sometimes I breathe that name and go, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. It's like breathing his name. He is the great I am. And Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. El Shaddai, the almighty God. And miss one, Baal Perazim, is that correct pronunciation? The Lord is our banner. And I want to emphasize his banner over us is love. He is love. We need to know that love, because that love, when we know his love, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible with him. And then this week it's Abba Father. Abba Father. What does that say to you? Abba Father. You know, people say that the word Abba is like daddy, but I think it's more than daddy. It's deep, something deeper than that. It speaks of, I looked it up online, AI said that it's an Aramaic term of intimate, respectful address for Father. And it signifies a deep personal relationship with God. And it is characterized by warmth, affection, and profound sense of trust and obedience. That's the Abba I want to know. That intimate God. It's like a combination of respect and authority, of God's authority and power, as well as a tender, loving, and dependent relationship with him. Do you know, years ago, it's always been God's heart from the very beginning to have a family. That was his heart. And that's why when you read the whole Bible, when you start to understand it, and you start to see his heart through it. His heart is for family, for offspring. It's for an expansion of the Godhead. You know, right at the very beginning, Adam was born as a son. He was a son of God. I mean, the emphasis, it confirms that in Luke 3:38, in the genealogy of Jesus, it says that Adam was a son to God. He walked with him. It's a picture in Eden. It says in Eden 1, and this throws the... I gave them the Bible scriptures, and this is not one of them. But it says in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And he said, and then further down it says, so God created him in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, because Adam means male and female, by the way. Then God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is God's heart. He wants to bless us. He wants to father us. He wants to take care of us. This is a picture. You know, years ago, I remember, I think it was when I was in the Bible college. I don't remember. I'm not sure. But we were asked, how do you see heaven? And it stopped me and I thought, how do I see heaven? And immediately into my mind, I saw a picture of me as a small child in my father's arms. From that place, I thought, yes, that's my picture of heaven. In that place, I felt, you feel safe. You're secure. You've got everything you need. In that place, you feel loved. You feel precious. You've got no worries. You're so close to him that you can hear that still small voice whispering in your ear, I love you. You're mine. I chose you. You can feel his breath on your cheek. You can look into his face, to look into those eyes, expressing that love. That's the intimacy. That's heaven to me. That's my picture of heaven. How do you see heaven? It reminds me of Isaiah 40, verse 11. There's a verse, he tends his flock like a shepherd and gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart, just to confirm that picture. There's the shepherd again that we were hearing about. That's that shepherd coming in. You know, you can't walk in that until we know who we are in our Father's arms, in his love, in this relationship. Jesus used the name Abba, Abba Father, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was so troubled. It was just before he went to the cross that he cried out to God, and it was almost like he was saying, well, Lord, I know this is what I've, Father, I know this is why I'm here. I know this is what I've come for, but if there's any other way, please take this cup from me. A little bit of poetic license in that wording, but that's the heart of what he was saying. That obedience, that willingness. The whole Bible refers to us, to God's people as his children. I haven't got time to go through all the verses, but this is where, coming back to the way of the Spirit, it's a great tool to find out these things of God's heart. To get to know him. You get to know about him, but we'll move further to get the life of that. The whole Bible points to this submission of trust, respect, awe of him, for us to fully understand the Father's deep love. This is a love letter. This is a love letter from him to you He cares about you. He wants you. Do you know, it often fascinates me in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 5, you know the story about Enoch? And it says, chapter 5, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Something happened when he became a father. And I believe it doesn't actually say it in words, but I feel it sort of says it, that when he has a child, had a child, suddenly then it says he walked with God. And, you know, did you know that Adam was alive during Enoch's life? It was 8 generations, I believe, later. And yet Adam was still alive. So I can imagine this little boy, Enoch, sitting at the feet of Adam and hearing the stories about how Adam and Eve walked with God. He walked with him and they had everything and they were in this paradise in Eden. And this little boy is going, wow. And then he grows up and then he has a child of his own. And it's as though suddenly he realizes, he suddenly understands the heart of God, the love of a father. And then Enoch walked with God. And then he was no more because God took him. Because suddenly he realized. And he walked with God as Adam had walked with him. And so there was nothing then stopping him. God wants us walking with him in that trust, in that relationship with him. Adam and Eve, when they came as grown-ups, didn't they? They were already grown-ups. But when Jesus came, Adam and Eve, they were grown-ups, and they orphaned the whole of the human race. They caused the whole human race to be separated from God because they chose their way instead of God's way. This is God's way, the Bible. We find out God's way here. Word and spirit together. They came as adults, but then Jesus came as a child. He came as a child to show us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life, would have that fullness of life. That walk, the way was open for us to walk with God also. But Jesus came as a child to show us the way. And when he was talking to the disciples, he drew a child to him to show them that they needed to become like a little child. In 1 John chapter 4. Verses 9 to 10. This is the love of God. In this the love of God was manifested towards us. That God has sent him. His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins. In other words, an atoning sacrifice to make the way. And then verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God and abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have the boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. So it's about becoming like him. He came to show the way. Jesus came to show the way. And so that we can become like him, because God wants us to have the same relationship as Jesus had with the Father, to know him. This is our position. Our position as children of God. We've heard a lot about this recently, about being in the right position. Well, it starts with knowing who we are in him. Our position as children. Love sent his son, a child. And in John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him to them, he gave the right to become children of God to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of God. He gave us the right to become his children. There are no natural born children of God. When I say natural born, I mean physically born. They're all spiritually born. When we're adopted into the kingdom, it is a spiritual being born spiritually into his kingdom. He gave us the right. It's a gift. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So be holy and set apart. That means to be set apart without blame before him in his love. In his love, because of his love, he made the way. Set apart for him. Set apart for a blessed life. That doesn't mean to say you don't have problems, but you'll never go through a problem without him, if you know him. He'll bring you through. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God did it through Jesus. He made the way for us to belong to him. But we're sealed with the Spirit. Moving on to Galatians chapter 4 from verse 4. Forgive me, I'm rushing through this. I'm speaking the word, but I want you to see it's in the word. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. So there's your father, there's your son. Born of a woman, born under the law. So that is to the fulfillment of the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law, to complete it all, to redeem those who were under the law of trying in our own strength and discovering all through the word, all through the Old Testament, that we can't do it. Jesus fulfilled it to redeem us, those who were still under that law, that didn't understand and thought we'd got to work our way, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into the hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So it goes from law, from trying in your own strength and failing, to being adopted into his family, born of God, belonging to him. It becomes a relationship, a passion. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but a son. And when I say son, that means sons and daughters. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Everything. He wants to give you everything. He wants to give you the best. He wants to provide for you. He wants to hold you in his arms. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever trials, whatever lies have been told to you, God wants to hold you close and say, I love you. I've got a plan for your life. Child, you are mine. You are so precious. Galatians 4, oh yes, it said there, when the fullness of time had come, Jesus came, the Holy Spirit came. So you've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. You can't separate them. Word and Spirit revealing the Father's love to you. Excuse me, has somebody got a tissue? Thank you. Now is the time. We need to get ready. We need to be grounded in the Word. We need to be grounded in this relationship with God. We need to know these days who we are, because times are not easy. And I'm not speaking doom and gloom over you. I'm speaking joy in the Lord, that whatever happens in your life, you will be an overcomer. You will get that breakthrough we've been talking about. That he will be your banner over you, that banner of love. You will see him as a great I am, that nothing is higher than him, nothing is bigger than him. The Almighty God, El Shaddai. Knowing our position in these things, knowing our position, that we are being led by the shepherd as his beloved child. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You can't do it without the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, when you got born again, you received the Spirit of God. But there's more. God wants to empower you with his Spirit to enable you. You need the Holy Spirit. So if you're not baptized in the Spirit, I encourage you to ask God for it. Speak to someone else and receive it, because the gift is for you. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's a lot of fear around at the moment. God wants to help you to rise above that. Now, fear is not a bad thing, as long as it doesn't. But before I came up here, my knees were knocking. And I was a bit in fear. But, you know, it can be a good thing, because you go, help, Lord. I can't do this. I need you. I need you. We can't do it. So, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Our loving Father, your chosen. The Spirit of Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. His Spirit meets with our spirit and brings us alive in Him. It brings the Word alive in our lives. That's when it gets exciting. Now, I know the Father heart of God, knowing God as Father, can be sensitive. Oh, I've gone over my time, over what I wanted to say. But it can be a sensitive to many people, because you may struggle to see God as a loving, kind Father because of the father that you've had, because of difficult or abusive relationships. You may have had a father who was angry or distant or judgmental. My own father was actually quite a good father in many ways, but I never ever heard once my father say, "I love you." He was distant, and it was like, "You wait till your father gets home." If I did anything wrong, and I had a red mark on my bottom afterwards. So he was, on the whole, a good father, but distant. And I realised that had caused me to be a bit distant with God. I wanted to know him, but I didn't realise just how close I could get to him. My first marriage was an abusive marriage. But I praise God that he's done a work in me that I can now see Jesus as a bridegroom. And I am his bride. So God can do these things. He can heal the hurts. He can change your thinking, your understanding of who God is. Maybe you've lost your father. Maybe he was a good father, but you've lost him and you may be grieving. Maybe you never knew a father's love or presence. For my daughter, she grew up just me and her. I was a single mum for all of her life until I married Jerry. She was grown up then. And she knew her father from a distance. She always longed for a relationship with her father, and it never happened. It couldn't quite happen. And when he died a few years ago, she grieved because there was no longer any opportunity for her to make a relationship with her father. But I praise God that he's her father. And he's better than any other father you could ever wish for. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal the Father's heart to you. He wants to bring healing to you. He wants to draw you closer into a deeper revelation of his love. It takes time to get to know someone. It takes time to read the Word and allow the Spirit to bring the truth and the life through it. Spending time with God, talking to him and getting to know him, it takes time. But he wants to change your heart to desire that, to make the way. He has made the way. But today, I really believe he wants to break down some of the barriers, the things that have been hindering you, to break the chains that have been holding you back. And instead of just going through the motions, you're going to come into something much deeper, more wonderful, more encouraging, more gives you strength and there's just a warmth. G. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. This is when he's praying for the disciples. That we all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And verse 26, and I have declared to them your name. Today is declaring his name, Abba. And I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them, that you may know that love, not just know about it, but to know it in a way that changes, transforms, heals. It's God's heart, Abba Father. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? I want you to close your eyes, and if it helps, picture yourself in your Father's arms. Picture yourself close to him, where you can hear his heartbeat, where you can feel his breath on your cheek, where you can look into his eyes and you can hear his voice. You need him. He wants you. We need him. Father, we see we need you as our Abba Father. Forgive us, Lord, if we've seen you as our natural fathers. If we've seen you as angry or judgmental or distant. If we've not seen you at all, but we've only seen Jesus. We break the lie of the enemy that tells you is anything other than a loving Abba Father. We break that hold now. And we pray a fresh encounter with Father. Father, reveal the depth of your love. Reveal the depth of your love that we may know you. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Child, you are mine. And I love you. Father, I thank you that you are our Abba. You are our Abba Father. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you've never known. Maybe you're not even in the kingdom yet. Maybe you don't even know Jesus. Maybe you're just drawn here. But you don't yet have a relationship even with Jesus. You need to know him. And I invite you to not just invite Jesus in, that's important, but to put your life into his hands, to put your life into God's hands. Whether you know him personally or not, put your life into his hands. Salvation is not just about receiving Jesus. Salvation is about a relationship with the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit to come into a life, to put your life into his hands so that he can guide you like that shepherd, so that he can be the great I am in your life, so that he can be your covering, the banner over you. So that he can be your almighty God, but your Abba Father. Give the rejection to God, and he forgives you for every sin. Leave it behind. Realize, accept his forgiveness, accept his acceptance. This is foundational. We are seated on the mercy seat under his feathers, in his arms, in the arms of your loving Father. This is a personal thing. I initially thought about putting people in groups to pray for each other, and then I realized that this is personal. This is between you and the Father. It's not about any other, but it's not about the pastor, it's not about your earthly parents, it's not about your spouse, it's not about your anyone else, but just you and him. He loves you. And I pray that when you leave this place, that you will start asking him to reveal himself as your loving Father, as your Abba, where you can feel secure. Where no matter what comes into your life, you will have a trust in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me.
It's okay. Father, we thank you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, possibly, you might be here and you've struggled to relate with God because of what you've gone through with your earthly father. Maybe present physically but distant, or absent emotionally, or even maybe absent altogether. This morning, I just want you to have that assurance that our Heavenly Father is not like our earthly fathers. And in the name of Jesus, we speak healing over every wound, over every heartache, over everything that hinders or inhibits your relationship with God as your Father, because of what you might have gone through with your earthly fathers. In the name of Jesus. It reminds me of the freedom encounter. For those who have done freedom, you know about this. That moment where a letter is read to say that as a father, we ask for your forgiveness. Release. Forgive, let go, and let God. In the name of Jesus. And maybe your earthly father was good, but the Bible says, Jesus says, if our earthly fathers are able to give us good gifts, how much more our heavenly Father? And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what your earthly fathers can do. And we thank you, Jesus, for that revelation of the heart of our fathers. Fathers provide, fathers protect, fathers give identity, fathers give an inheritance. And we thank you because we are your beloved sons. I pray that that revelation may walk with us in the name of Jesus. This morning when I was praying before I came to church, God ministered to me about someone who's been having a problem with their legs. A lot of numbness from their waist going all the way to their feet. A lot of numbness. Sometimes they're not even able to walk. And God said that he's healing that in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you. Somebody else has been struggling with kidney issues. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke any kidney problems in the name of Jesus. And in the name of the Lord, as God has showed me, we command every reading through test that is not in the normal parameters to go back to the normal parameters in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you because dialysis will not happen in Jesus' name. I found myself praying and rebuking dialysis, and I rebuke dialysis in the name of Jesus. Kidneys will recover, and I command them to recover right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, and we glorify your name because you're faithful and you're good. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone say, amen. What a word. Put your hands together for Jesus. What a word.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.